just after this morning, after I shared the article, I came in this evening, and I was thinking about this all afternoon. I couldn't wait to talk to Chuck Barker, because I knew after I told him about the elephant room that he would have to go home and investigate. So I went straight to him. I said, Chuck, I'm just curious, how many hours did you spend this afternoon looking up the elephant room? And he said, only one hour. I'm just curious, did anybody else go and Google the elephant room and read up? Nobody? Brian. Oh, okay. Your ox was in the ditch. He had to work and take a nap. I figured Brian would. I figured Diane would. See. Then ask you tomorrow. Okay. I figured Brian and Diane would. I was debating on Rodney, because y'all do know Rodney. Rodney's got a computer at his house now, so he's a little dangerous. Well, waned. Yeah. Well, there's interesting things on it. And it's things to grow. There's and challenges and just different situations that the church in America as a whole they're facing. And that's crumbling the church in America. So just as a side note, you might want to just ponder and look. We find ourselves in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we looked at last week. We missed a week, but 2 weeks ago we left off in verse 3, and so. In verses 1 through 6, which we're going to do tonight, verse 4, 5, and 6. In verses 1 through 6, we see how God created, birthed this family. There was a family that was created. And so in 1 through 6, we see the birth of the family, how He birthed this family. And in verse 7 and 8, we see verses 7 and 8, we see a picture of a gentle mother. Verses 9 through 12, we see a picture of a concerned father. And then verses 13 through 16, we see a picture of grateful friends. And then 17 through 20, a picture of a loving family, loving brother and sisters. So, let's finish the birth of this family. Just to recap a little bit, if you remember, in verse 1 and 2, we saw that this family was birthed with power, that they had gone to Philippi before, they had suffered a whole lot, there had been a lot of things that they had suffered at the hands of Philippi. You remember we went back and read Acts chapter 16. We saw that they were beaten, that they were falsely accused. And if you remember, they were thrown in jail. And they weren't just thrown in jail, they were thrown in, do you remember what the scripture said? In the middle of the jail. They were very bad, the worst of the worst criminals, high-profile criminals. And so they were in the middle of the jail, solitary confinement in a way. So, but this ministry, Paul said, that had happened in Thessalonica, it wasn't in vain. they came on the heels of this suffering, and they were broken down and beaten down and suffering, and God birthed this church out of this low time in their lives. And so it wasn't like they were high impact and high energy. They were broken men. And God just did a work. He just used them at the lowest time in their lives. God empowered this and did it. And then we saw in verse 3 that it wasn't just birthed out of power, it was birthed in the truth. That there was no error, there was no uncleanness, and there was no deceit. Basically, Paul did what he has always done. What we read in Acts time and time again, Paul did what? Went into a city and entered the synagogue again. Probably thinking, here we go again. We're going to get beat again. This is going to happen again. He went into the synagogue and God just did a work. People got saved. And if you remember, so many people, there was so many folks that came to the Lord. It did start a riot. They said, listen, these people are stirring up our city and causing trouble. So it was birthed by power. It was birthed by truth. And tonight we're going to see in verse 4 that it was birthed with authority. It was birthed with authority. Let's look at verse 4. It says this. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. It was birthed by authority, or with authority. The scripture says that they were approved by God. What does this mean? That God sent them, that He started this work, He sent them on this mission trip. The gospel had now come to the Gentiles. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. The word was going out all over the place. And he was on these mission trips and going from city to city to city, Gentile cities, and the Gentiles were receiving the grace of God unto salvation. That's only a work of God. And so we see that not only did God call Paul for this ministry, it was approved by God. He sent him out on these missions, and churches were being formed all over the place. In Philippi, in Galatia, in Ephesus, in Thessalonica. There were churches that were being formed all over, even in the midst of tremendous struggles. It was the authority that God had placed upon the Apostle Paul. This is something that we need to talk about just briefly. Now, how can I explain this? Paul's a man, just like you and I. He is flesh and blood. He probably, as you have heard many people say, he was probably the greatest Christian that ever walked the face of the earth. Maybe one of the smartest men to ever be around. And just hugely intelligent. And God saved this man in Acts chapter 9. You know the story. On the road to Damascus. He saved him and set his course, his life, in a different direction. But he's a man. And place after place after place, Paul saw God do something. But it wasn't because of him. Listen, y'all know this. It's a common thing. Men are prideful creatures, especially extremely intelligent men that could use their words to manipulate and teach and use their words to argue. And Paul could do it. He could challenge anybody in the Scriptures. It didn't matter who it was. Let's sit down and let's debate this issue. Nobody wanted to debate Paul. Is it any surprise why every city that Paul went to, God put them in the worst situation, humbled them, broke them? I mean, Philippi, he was in prison. How are you going to share the gospel when you're in solitary confinement? And what did they do? What did Paul and Silas do in that prison? Sing and praise and worship by themselves. This is what I'm saying. This is why Paul could say we were approved by God. This was done through the power of God. That's why he was saying, it wasn't me. Every city, you go back and look in Acts, city after city after city, God put him in a situation where it wasn't his own gifts and talents that they saw fruit. It was the power of God. Does that make sense? Now, I feel bad for Paul. I hate it when I read, and you can read in 2 Corinthians when he talks about, I've been shipwrecked. Paul spent a day and a night floating adrift in the ocean. He's been beaten. He's been tortured. He's even been bit by a snake. All of these things happened. God humbled him and humbled him and humbled him and humbled him. Humbled his pride because God was going to do this work. It was his position. It was not the person. God used Paul. And if it wasn't going to be Paul, it would have been somebody else. The gospel was going to go to the Gentiles. It was his plan. Which we know that it was his plan to use Paul. Because that's what happened. God is sovereign and only has one plan. So we see that it was approved by God. That it was by his hand. He did it. But then he goes on to say in verse 4, but as we have been approved by God, look at this, to be entrusted with the gospel. So God approved him and God entrusted him with the gospel. God set this in motion, called him, saved him, gave him the ministry to go to the Gentiles, and then God entrusted him with this gospel message to go out. This is the point that you and I need to understand. You and I have been saved and called and entrusted. Do you know what will happen if you go out and share the gospel message to this world? Do you know what will happen? What will happen? Yeah. Persecution will come. But do you know what else will happen? What? Blessings. What kind of blessings? The gospel will win. How will it win? It will happen. It's going to happen. You will be persecuted. But people will be saved. Why? Is it because of you? Is it because of your knowledge that you have, or that you have a way of communicating that are motivating, are moving people that other people don't have? It's because you've been entrusted with this gospel. You have been given this message. It's like what, in similar ways, in the same principle. When we pray something scripturally, what's going to happen? What we pray is going to happen. Just like I said this morning, if you pray, God, please help me to be in this chain of faith. Please help me to be a mentor. Help me to be a discipler. What do you think is going to happen when you pray that prayer?
We will bear children.
Well, you're going to bear
children, and it will fulfill Old Testament prophecies on the barren will have more children than those who have children.
People will come to you out of the woodwork. They will come and say, "Can I talk to you about something? I've been sure." People you could not believe will come and say, "I need to talk to somebody. Would you talk to me about this?" Now, I'm going to just give you a heads up. When that happens, every bone in your body, when somebody comes with you with a problem or a situation or a circumstance, and we're about to talk about this in this verse, every bone in your body is going to want to be a people pleaser. You're going to want to be to say, "You know what, it's okay." And you may have a little bit of truth in there, you know, and love them. And I want you to do that. I mean, please don't beat anybody up. But you can speak the truth in love. You have been called. If you are saved, you have been approved by God. You have been entrusted with the gospel. Don't keep it to yourself. You know the story that I told this morning about the Chinese believers? We literally have seen Chinese believers, honest to goodness, learn one Bible lesson at a time. And they learn one lesson and they go out and teach it 100 times. I'm serious about this. What do you think happens to that person when they teach a lesson 100 times? What happens? Do you think they know it? Do you think they would ever forget it? And then they learn something else. You know, David got to the point, and this is the truth. When this ministry first started and the Lord was moving and bringing people to the Lord, there were so many people coming to the Lord that they knew nothing. They had no background of church. They had no knowledge of, I'm talking about zero knowledge. That David said, he just said, "Okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to teach one lesson, and I want y'all to go out and teach that lesson, this lesson that I'm teaching you, to 10 other people." And they did it. And guess what happened? More people came. And more people came. And more. And he's still basically doing that. But he has biblical scholars over there now. Chinese believers that are reading Jonathan Edwards. Do you hear me? And they've only been in the faith a few years. One of the greatest stories, and y'all have heard us tell this, but some of you may not have, was, and y'all know this young lady, but I'm going to just keep her name for tonight. This young lady came to know the Lord. They were doing this. David was doing this with this group of people. And this young lady happened to be going out. So David sat down with them and said, "Okay, I've taken you through this. You understand who Christ is and what He has done on the cross and what He's done in your life. Now it's time for you to take this gospel message of salvation out to others. I want every one of y'all to make a list of 100 people that you're going to share the Lord with. And then next week when you come to our meeting, I want us to sit down and look at this list of 100. Well, this young lady comes the following week, and she's real quiet, which if you know this young lady, she's never quiet, ever. She was real quiet, and David was like, "What is going on? What's wrong?" She's just sitting there. They started the lesson. David taught him a lesson. He said, "Okay, I gave you an assignment last week. Now I want to see your list of 100. Well, you know, this person, they gave David his list, and they talked about it, and this person finally got to this young lady. And she looked at David, and she was like, "I'm sorry. I made a list of 100 people, but I only got to share with 80 of them." And David was like, "What?" And she said, I didn't get to share Jesus with all of them." And David was like, "I didn't mean all 100 this week. I just wanted the list of people that we could start working on." And she was like, "Well, I don't understand. They need Jesus. We have to share with all of them." In 1 week, she had gone through most of her list and sat down with them one-on-one and shared the gospel of Jesus with them. They say that in China, 8,000 to 10,000 believers come to know the Lord every day. Every day. Do you want to know why? Because of that. You, guys, if you just say, "Lord, help me to do this." You can even say, "Lord, bring them. Bring them." I promise you, tomorrow you will call me with a story. I promise you. And you could, Miss Jessie, you could even say, "Lord, I'm going to stay at home all day long with Mr. John. If I need to share the Lord with somebody, will you bring them to my door? Get ready." Isn't that great? That's the power of God. That's when you know it's God. When somebody knocks on your door because you're at home with your sick husband and somebody knocks at your door, you're like, "I'm supposed to share Jesus with you." You may not know that, but I know that. You're terminal. You've been approved by God, and you've been entrusted with the gospel. So speak it. Speak the truth in love. So it goes, and that's what he said. That's the next part. Look at it. It unfolds. This isn't rocket science. This is what the Scripture says. But we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak. We just share what we know. We speak it. And then the last half is what you're going to have to battle against. Not as pleasing man or men, but God who tests your heart. Listen, when people who love you and you love come to you, we don't want to upset them. We don't. But do you know the gospel is offensive? Do you know why? It points out our sin. And Brian, you're right. When you tell somebody you're terminal, you have a terminal illness, that there's nothing good in them and they need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need to repent of your sins right now. they don't want to hear that. People don't want to hear that they are terminal. They will die. And they need Jesus. But when we do that, it's going to happen. So, this church was birthed with authority. And it was also, and praise the Lord, it's birthed with integrity. Listen, our churches in America, all over, lack integrity. They lack integrity. Why do you think, well, I better stop. I'll just stop. Let's just read the scripture. Verse 5 and 6. For neither at any time do we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor did we speak glory from men, either from you or from others. Neither did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles. So there was integrity. There was integrity. He denied and said, I did not come with smooth talking or favorable impressions. I didn't come to gain influence. I didn't come to be liked. I did not come to be the head. I did not come to be in charge of everybody. I came for one reason, to bring the gospel to you, to bring truth, to teach, to do these things. This is why I came. And he also says that he did not pretend to be poor. I didn't hide with a cloak of covetousness. I didn't act like, oh, woe is me. You know, you got to help me. You got to help this. I just spoke the truth. I just shared the gospel. I shared the teachings of life. I didn't do this to get rich in the ministry. And lastly, he did not use his position as an apostle to take charge. That's a huge statement. Paul was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was well educated. He knew the law in and out. He knew the scripture. He was an apostle. He could have gone in someplace. Listen, people knew about the Apostle Paul. That's why when they came to the Thessalonican rulers, he said, this man has caused trouble all over the world. Why did they know that? Because they knew of this guy. He's caused trouble everywhere he's gone. And Paul humbly comes into this town and he teaches and shares the gospel and he doesn't say anything. He said, God is my witness and so are you. You know how we came and presented the gospel. I came in. I told you the truth. This is what happened. It was built off integrity. There was no motives outside of sharing the gospel message. No motive. None. It's right to do. This is what God has called me to do. He's given me the gospel. I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell you something. And I'm not going to talk about other churches. I'm going to talk about New Hope Baptist Church. There's a lot of things that we could have gotten involved in. And I cannot tell you how many times in elders' meetings and deacons' meetings and elders' and deacons' meetings that we have said over and over and over again, this is who we are. We are going to preach the doctrines of grace. We are going to be about families and building strong families. And we are going to be about world missions. That's who we are. And how we do it is preaching and teaching His Word, period. We're not going to get lost in music. We're not going to get lost in programs. We're not going to get lost in other things. You know, there was somebody who got upset with us and left our church, and this was his... This is what he said to us, the elders and the deacons. He said, y'all need to build desks, not pews. I thought, that's a compliment. That's a compliment. I want this church to be known as a church that when we gather together, there's one thing that we're definitely going to do. We're going to crack the Word and we're going to study it. We may not do anything else right, but let's get that right. Amen? Not flattering words, not covetousness, not asking for anything. This is who we are. This is who we are. If people want to be fed, come. If you want a great music program, and this is not... I want y'all to know this. We talk about this. This is Kurt and Lori agree with this. If you want a great music program, New Hope Baptist Church is not where you need to be. Thank you, Glenn. And we do too. They know this. We talk openly about this. If you want a dynamic youth ministry, New Hope Baptist Church is not where you need to be. It's just who we are. It's just who we are. Today, and I'm going to give you a small example. And praise God. And I'm not trying to pin a rose on anybody. I'm saying this, and I thank God for the teachers in our church. But this morning, my 4-year-old daughter gets in our truck because Carrie's sick, and Beth knew that Beth came and picked her up. And Kate gets in the vehicle and says, Mom, Esau was a bad guy. He wanted to kill his brother. Yep, that's right. And do you know what Jacob did? Jacob went to a foreign land where his mom lived, and he laid his head down on the ground, and he had a dream. And you know what happened in that dream? And she started unfolding the story of Jacob and Esau. I can't even remember what else.
She has a lot to say.
I mean, she has a lot to say all the time. It doesn't matter if anybody's listening or not. She has a lot to say. There's at least 30 or 40,000 words that girl's got to get out every day.
She wants to make sure you knew that Jacob forgave his brother.
Four. Four. Yeah. That's the thing, is that, listen, it doesn't, we don't have to spend a lot of money. We don't. Let's crack the Word and say, sweetheart, let me tell you about this story, and tell them the story of Scripture. We don't have to have a lot of things. Matter of fact, we only need one thing. And it's free. Well, it's really not. It's cost a lot. But it's free to you and I. Is this. so. You've been approved. You've been entrusted. Now you need to not make sure you're not pleasing man, that you're going to please God. And listen, part of pleasing God is being kind. Do you hear me? Don't be mean-spirited. Please don't be mean-spirited. Be kind. The worst knock upon Calvinists is that they're mean. And that there's no, that doesn't even make sense to where, if we believe that God has done all this by grace, why are we getting mad? If He's done it all by the grace of God, why are we getting mad? Where's the pride? Love folks. Tell them the truth. Tell everybody the truth. Everybody that comes in your way, tell them the truth. Pray for them. And let God do His own convicting in their hearts. And lastly, just be people of integrity. Don't have a hidden motive. Just do what you're supposed to do. Just do what you're supposed to do. And don't have any hidden motive. Do what God is calling you to do, and let God be God, and let God build His church. Are there any questions? We have 10 minutes. Any comments? Any comments? Oh, come on. No questions? Well, I could keep going. We could go on to the next verse. Jeremiah. Jeremiah has a question. Go ahead, Jeremiah. Does that what? No. No. Jeremiah, that's what I was just saying. There were Chinese believers that only knew one thing about Scripture. That's all they know. And they were taking it out. I have a feeling that everybody... Tell them that they need Jesus. Well, we'll work that out. Not now. We'll work it out. Oh, it was only us.
Now these young ladies, these teenage girls, some of them, are like, I don't understand this. You gave us the truth that we were so excited to have these people come from America. But we're teaching them.
They know less than we do.
They don't know what we know.
We They would sit down. We had this meeting because they were so confused because all these other groups had started coming. And David sat down with all... We were there, and they just were like, when New Hope comes, they teach us. When everybody else comes, we teach them. What is going on in America? They were putting it together themselves. What is happening? And David had to tell them that the gospel in America is weak. Listen, Beth had a, she was teaching a class of young ladies, and there was a three girls that got a hold of a Bible. And they had decided that they wanted to know more about this God. But they were afraid. And you should see where in the situation that a lot of these young people live in. It'll shake you up. And that in one room, very small, packed in there. And all they have is one bunk. It's really a piece of plywood is what it is. And they were so afraid of the other students in that bunk room turning them in, they would stay up in the night with a blanket over them with a flashlight. And one girl, they started, and one girl would start reading until she couldn't read anymore, whispering. And then the other girl would start where she left off. And in 3 days or 4 days, I can't even remember, they read the whole Bible at night. Right. At night. We're not talking about all day long. They stayed up at night under a blanket in the middle of the summer, and it gets jungle hot where we are. It's on the same equator line as Cuba, with a flashlight, reading until one couldn't read anymore and then the other one would pick up. And then the other one would pick up. And they took turns. And I'm not, listen, that's the power of God. That's God doing something. And do you know, God, you guys hear me when I say this. You have been empowered by the gospel here. Here. He has called and approved you. We have been empowered. Let's just do and walk in obedience. Let's just do it. Let's just go do it. Go out. Any other comments or questions? We have 4 minutes. I can't let y'all out early. That's against the bylaws and constitution and bylaws. Kirk.
Well, I just want to underline this idea that as far as you learn about challenging God, in that way, to
Yeah, me too. Me too. It'll happen. It'll happen. There's no doubt in my mind. Why is that? It's not because we're so great or the sermon was so great this morning. Matter of fact, it's quite the opposite. He uses the weak to confound the mighty. He is not. I wouldn't be surprised if Miss Jessie doesn't have somebody knock at her door. Get ready, Miss Jessie. Tomorrow. There's no limits on a sovereign God. It's what He's approved.
Years and even growing in faith, thinking about what is my we are all gifted and called to a special purpose. But one thing that we all universally share, that we've been called in faith to please God.
Amen.
We've been called to please Him with our life, and it pleases Him for us to ask for these things. Do you think He's not going to provide if we ask?
Yeah. All right. One minute.
60 seconds.
All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this evening, and thank you for your word, and thank you for what happened in Thessalonica, that this church was not a influential church, did not have a lot of money or power in the sense of power in the world's eyes, but it had you. And Lord, thank you for these teachings, this word of life. Lord, everybody here, every believer that is here, has been entrusted with something so great. You have given us this great gospel, this freeing message. Father, forgive us for being mean-spirited and ugly sometimes. Lord, forgive us for getting mad about things that we just... Lord, please help us to be broken-hearted and help us to go and take the words of life to the world, to people that desperately need it. And Lord, I do, not for us, but for you. Lord, I do pray that in this week we will have great testimonies of your power. Lord, if we have to suffer, please, so be it. Let it come. For your honor and for your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. We're 1 minute past, so see, y'all didn't get out early.